Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guest. Today's speaker is Reverend Mr. John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the first Sunday of Lent, and the readings are from Cycle C.
The most powerful sermon in the world are the words, "Me too." I know that there have been moments in my personal life and my faith life, and I imagine in yours too, when I've experienced more stress than usual, and I've acted in ways that are pretty crazy, ways which I haven't always been proud of. During these difficult times, I often believed I was the only person in the world who felt as weird as I did. Thankfully, I'm blessed to have friends who are able to take me aside, look me in the eye, and say, "Me too. I've had those feelings." What a relief. That reassurance has made all the difference and helped bring me back to equilibrium, to myself, with others, and with the Lord. And fortunately, I've had the chance to return the favor. It's always been a privilege to listen to a friend, a colleague, or an acquaintance who shared with me a tale about his or her life journey, or a struggle or difficulty, or a challenge in a marriage, or with depression. In those conversations, when I can respond with the words, "Me too," or say with assurance, "That's a very common feeling," healing occurs because God's grace is present in abundance. It's always liberating to realize that we're not alone in having the feelings and experiences that we do, and in coming to understand that many others share in our human condition. Today's gospel account, the tale of Jesus' trials in the desert, is definitely a Me Too story. Every year, the gospel reading for this first Sunday in Lent is the same, the temptation scene of Jesus in the wilderness. That fact alone should be reason enough to conclude that this is an important theme. Matthew, Mark, and today Luke present Jesus, this 30-year-old carpenter's son at a crossroads in his life, in all his humanity. And Satan is depicted consistently as being quite skilled in trying to manipulate the Lord in his hungry and depleted state. Jesus is tempted to misuse his practical everyday power and to turn stone into bread, his political power by ordering the angels to guard him, and his religious power with Satan assuring him, "All will be yours if you but worship me." In many ways, these are universal temptations. Yes, Jesus faced them, but so do you and I. Confronted with these temptations, however, Jesus remained faithful to his mission. He acted in a manner that was consistent with God's desire that he live for a higher purpose. And by so doing, he gave us a model to live out our own mission in life. So often, you and I give short shrift to the notion that Jesus' humanity is linked to ours. Yes, Jesus is divine, and he's also fully human. And in striving to be our best selves, we realize quickly that Jesus' story becomes our story. The journey he made and the one that we're making at the moment come together, and we find ourselves saying, "Me too." Now, this idea was spelled out powerfully some years ago by a very well-known Catholic theologian who wrote that Christianity is an attitude of deep amazement at the human person's worth and dignity. Now, are you surprised to hear a definition of Christianity that doesn't mention God? After all, this theologian, in defining Christianity, fails to mention the love of God, or the worship of God, or even belief in God, and instead puts the emphasis on an attitude of amazement before the dignity of the human person. Who is this well-known Catholic theologian? None other than Pope John Paul II, who wrote these words in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis. Saint Irenaeus, a second century father of the church, wrote in a similar vein when he insisted, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." If we're to be like God, we are to be fully human, because God has chosen to become like us. Now, there's a risk in all this talk about amazement over the human person. Few and I can easily lose the we by putting too much emphasis on the me. When we fall victim to that way of thinking, we end up focusing on me, 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 rather than the Me Too story. And sad to say, there's enough evidence to suggest that this type of me-itis is on the rise. For example, you and I are part of many centuries of Judeo-Christian heritage. Yet during the last 30 or 40 years, we've lost a bit of our humility about our roles in this great story. Consider this finding. In 1950, the Gallup organization asked high school seniors this question: are you a very important person? 12% of high school seniors in 1950 responded, "Yes, I'm a very important person." But when Gallup asked the same question in 2005, a whopping 80% of high school seniors said, "Yes, I'm a very important person." A second example. The U.S. ranks 25th in the world when it comes to math scores. But if you ask people, are we as a nation really good at math? Well, we in the United States are number one at thinking we are really good at math. And maybe you won't be surprised to learn that 96% of college professors in this country believe they have above average teaching skills. And consider fame. Now, fame used to rank quite low as a career ambition for most people. But in 2006, 51% of 25-year-olds said being famous numbered among their top two life goals. That's twice as many as said that being spiritual was a top goal. And finally, high school girls were asked, would you rather be a celebrity's personal assistant, Justin Bieber's personal assistant, or president of Harvard? By 3-1, they reported they'd rather be Justin Bieber's personal assistant. They asked the president of Harvard, Drew Faust, and I think she said she'd rather be Justin Bieber's personal assistant. Well, today's reading from Deuteronomy and the words of the psalmist are strong antidotes to this type of me-itis. They remind you and me that we live in the midst of a whole network of relationships. The foundation of this network of relationships was Israel's covenant with God, and the basis of that covenant was justice. The Israelites were to father the fatherless, mother the motherless, and show hospitality to the resident alien, because this is the way that God acted with Israel. The practice of justice was an expression of God's steadfast love for his people. For the Israelite, a failure to practice justice was akin to not worshiping God. God was not asking his chosen people to admire him. No, he was insisting that they imitate him. And this biblical tradition gave rise to the ministry of Jesus. He inaugurated a new covenant where love was central. Jesus was quite clear. Transcending temptation and loving one's neighbor is tantamount to loving God. Lent invites us all, not just each of us individually, but all of us as a community, to examine those patterns in our lives that have become routine, to take stock of the familiar but not always so wholesome ways in which we interact with each other and ourselves and the world in which we live, and to imagine alternatives to our usual forms of behavior. Given the current state of our world and the evidence available that me-itis is on the rise, it may well be that focusing our attention on empathy, relationships with others, and justice is what we're called to do during this season of Lent. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert dealing with his demons. This Lenten season, let's pledge to be as courageous as he was in confronting the demons in our lives, and that, aware of the love of God, we pledge ourselves to take steps towards subduing them. To do so will make this Easter that much more joyous, that much more meaningful, and a true experience of death and resurrection.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP. Director Gary Glover. Associate Director Eun Su. With the music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.